know, it's about getting out of the box of conventional thinking and soaring with the ego on probable reality zones. That's what the show is about, and tonight is going to be really out there, high, out of convention, with a remarkable woman whose name is Annette Martin. I'll be talking about her book shortly. Before I bring her on, let's see what I've got to tell you. Updates. Okay, I'm staying out of the political zone completely because it's too utterly bizarre to even discuss. But always reminding you, keep your mind clear. Don't be hypnotized by the rhetoric. Keep your mind open and help bring the planet back to balance. Okay, I won't lecture. I'll just get on with the wonderful gift of being able to have Annette Martin on this show today. Annette is, what can I say about her? She is truly a renowned, gifted psychic. She has worked with police in over, she's worked with over 40 law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, to solve crimes. She became the first psychic sworn in as an expert witness in a court of law for a murder case. She has been on incredible, numerous shows, including 48 Hours, The Nancy Grace Show, Psychic Detective, Fox News. Woo! I'll have to ask her about that one. The History Channel, the Discovery Channel, and she's here with us. It's amazing. Please welcome. Of course, I'm not going to be able to hear you applaud. The wonderful Annette Martin. Are you there, Annette?
I'm here, Patricia. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
Well, I'm so impressed, and I'm just delighted that you've agreed to come on my little show, which is certainly not at the level of the Discovery Channel, but people who are listening are definitely the kinds of people who are going to embrace your story. So thank you so, so much for being here with us today.
Well, you're very welcome.
Well, your book came across my desk, and I was like, whoa, this is the real item. I love the cover. Gift of the White Light is the name of the book. The strange and wonderful story of Annette Martin, a biography written by James Frey. It's not an autobiography.
No, it's a biography by James N. Frey.
Frey, sorry, I mispronounced that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking about the book in detail. I have to say that I was... I'm a dowser, so I opened up a certain page, and I came across the story of how you met your spirit guide when you were 11 years old. And I found that very fascinating because I had a very similar experience. So, but before we get to that, I was hoping that I could ask you, just to see if we're in sync, if you would be able to tune in and tell me if you pick up anything with me that you'd like to share with me and with the audience.
Well, Patricia, one of the things that I was picking up while you were talking was I was looking at, you know, I'm not only a psychic detective, but I'm also a medical intuitive. And so the first thing that came across to me were your gums, your teeth and your gums, okay?
Okay.
And I saw that there was some problems there, and hopefully you've been going to the dentist.
I have a dentist appointment tomorrow.
Okay.
So I won't be a coward, and I will go, and I'll be a good girl. I won't back out, but I don't like the dentist.
I know. I can feel that. What I'd like to make sure that you do is that you go and you have that deep cleaning in the gums.
Uh-huh.
Because what I was seeing were that there were some deep pockets that you had. And so those need to be looked at. And if you can find a dentist who does a laser work, it would be wonderful for you.
Okay, well, I did do the laser work recently.
Oh, good. Okay, very good.
Yeah, you caught me in the dental process, so that's right, spot on.
Well, that's... You know, you do realize, Patricia, that we are electrical. And so what I do is I tune into that electrical energy, that magnetic energy that is around the person and you in this particular case. And that was the very first thing that came was the teeth, the gums.
Mm-hmm. No hiding.
So you see, Anything else exciting? Well, yes, I see you traveling a lot.
Yeah.
I see you doing a whole mess of things abroad and going to different countries. I see you doing a lot of writing. It looks like there's a book being formed right now around you. And I see you doing a lot of lecturing while you're doing this traveling. And it feels very good, and I'm getting goosebumps on that. Now, let me explain to you and to your audience what goosebumps are for me. They mean that what I've just said to you is between 90 and 95% accurate. So,
well, I'm getting goosebumps
there.
From head to toe now as well, so
okay.
I would call that being in sync. Yes, that's
definitely
exactly right. Thank you for being able to identify that. I'm traveling all around the world, and just in such a wonderful way and a joyful way. And in fact, I'm leaving in a week for Peru.
Oh my goodness, I love Peru, Machu Picchu. Oh, love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time to just set up that little special link. I really appreciate that. And let's get on with the much more important information about, God, I don't know where to begin, your life, your gift, and your incredible work. So,
where would you like to begin?
Well, I'd like to begin where you, the gift of the white light is the title of the book. And when I opened the book, I never start at the beginning of a book. So I opened it to a place where you were talking about your first encounter with your spirit guide.
Yes.
And
yes.
Would you like to share that with the audience?
Yes. Oh, the first time I actually saw him was when I was 11. But he spoke to me when I was 7. In fact, that's how the whole thing got started, was when I was 7 years old. And on the cover of the book, the picture of the little girl, that's me at 7 years old. And so the publisher thought that that was very appropriate to put that on the cover of the book.
Indeed, it's a powerful cover.
Yes, it is. It is, and I just love it. And I've just had so many people tell me how wonderful they felt when they looked at the photograph. And I thought, oh, that is really interesting. Well, so at 11 years old, my guide appeared to me, and in a church, mind you, in the Catholic Church. I was being raised in Catholicism, and I was going to Catholic school, and I thought that this person who was appearing before me, I was in there praying to God, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is Jesus coming forward. But it wasn't Jesus, it was my guide, and his name is Kama, C-A-M-A. And like I said, he's been with me since I was 7, and I'm sure way before then as well. And it was an astounding experience to actually see him.
I had a very similar experience where I was lying in bed. I can't remember what age I was. And I saw the same thing. This is what it struck me so much, because a cloud, I mean, I was in that state of just about falling asleep, and I saw this white cloud circling over my head. It really shocks you, no matter what your experience and training is.
That's right.
And the same thing, out of this cloud, a face appeared. It was so close to my face that it startled me.
Mm.
And my guide announced himself to me then.
Exactly.
So I felt very excited to read that, because I've never had anyone else describe the experience of that first contact with their guide in the same way.
Right, right. And Kama did come out of the white light. I have been seeing white light ever since I was a little tiny girl. When I'd go to bed at night, I would close my eyes, and all of a sudden, all this white light would come around me and just kind of cuddle me, and off to sleep I would go. And, of course, being raised in Catholicism, I thought, well, this was from God. This is definitely from God. And this very, very special energy. And being an only child, it made me even feel more comforted and more at peace. And so when this white light appeared on in the church and on the altar, near the altar, And I thought, oh, gosh, you know, there's my white light. What's it doing up there? And then it suddenly appeared into a man, and I went, oh, my gosh.
So and then, of course, guy, you said this guide is still with you now, still working with
oh,
you.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
You have more than one.
Yes, I do. I actually have another guide who is with me when I do my readings, and that is the very famous Mr. Edgar Cayce.
Yes, in fact, I was going to get to that. You beat me to the punch where you actually bring him through when you're doing healing readings.
Yes. When I'm doing my medical diagnosing or health readings, he's always there on my left side, and he is just absolutely the sweetest, most wonderful energy I've ever experienced. Very humble.
Fantastic. Let me ask you a question. Before we go further, are you available to people for, do you provide the service of doing readings for people on the phone, or do they only have the opportunity if they live near you?
I do both. I talk to people on the phone all over the world, actually, and then I also do readings in my office.
So if anyone's listening, and I'm sure there will be people that are going to want me to go ahead with this question, how would they get in touch with you to arrange a reading?
The best way is to go to my website, which is www.annette-martin.com, and you will see on there how to schedule a reading, and you can go on and send me an email through the website to set up an appointment, and then I will contact you. Because of all the radio and television shows I've been doing, trying to make an appointment on the phone has been rather difficult. So the best way is to do it through email. Or they can just email me directly at Annette@closure, that's C-L-O-S-U-R-E, the number 4, the letter U.com.
So closure4u.com. So that leads me into the obvious question, that you must be working with people who are in bereavement.
Oh, yes. I work with people, Patricia, in all states of conditions, where people come in to know about their health, to know about those who have passed on. I do a lot of that. I always ask the client to bring photographs if they want me to read other people who are either living or dead, to bring those photographs in with them or to mail them to me when we're doing a phone reading. And I do all kinds of things. I look at people, what's going on with their work life, their careers, their spouses, their children, money, houses, real estate, stock market, litigation, court cases.
Talk about a one-stop deal.
Yeah, it's
this
the
is
whole
wonderful
thing.
Because there are so many psychics out there with varying levels, which is why I asked you to tune in to me a minute.
Yes.
Varying levels, varying degrees.
Can you hold on just one moment? Can you hold on one moment?
Yeah. Well, here we are on the radio holding on. Okay, well, audience, while she's gone, I really want you to take advantage of this opportunity and call in the end of the interview. I'll give you a number where you can call in and get a chance to ask Annette a question. Are you back?
I'm here, yes. I'm sorry. The FedEx man came, and they only come at certain times, you know, and I have to get those packages.
Okay. You got it. I'm waiting for the FedEx man myself tomorrow, so when they come, you've got to go.
All right, so where were we?
I don't know, but that's definitely a little humor for the interview. We were talking about, I think we were talking about how people can... I was talking about your level of accuracy, and that's why I asked you to tune in to me for a moment, and how people could make an appointment with you. We were there. And then we were talking about bereavement.
Yes, a lot of people come to see me because of their loved ones who have passed away. And what happens there is that I am able to tune into those who have passed over and they will tell me different things, what they're doing, how they are, if they have a message for their loved one. And
well, I can tell you that I worked with a psychic when my mother passed because I was in such despair. I just couldn't see a way out. And I really recommend to people that they work with a good psychic when this happens because the woman that I worked with really helped me overcome my grief.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I tried to do. And one of the things, you know, the name that I have for my my email address and as well as my second website, Closure for You Investigations, we chose the name Closure for You because I like to bring closure to people, whether they're
coming
in.
Well, that's why I proceeded with this question, because indeed, being able to find some sort of peace by knowing that this person is still absolutely there, when you've got a psychic like you that can give specific information that cannot be challenged, it's really life-altering.
It is. It is. And it's just absolutely amazing, and that we need to understand and we need to know that even though the body is not living, the energy and the consciousness of that person is very definitely still alive and is there. And I mean, there are just countless accounts of where the loved one has appeared before their, you know, their child or their mother or whatever. And so we cannot deny the fact that that is possible.
Well, I don't think you have too many people in my listening audience denying, because you've got people, the show is called Beyond the Matrix, so we've got people that are past denial. But I would like to ask you a question, and this question comes to me very often when I'm teaching, and that is, okay, you've got the person going through the passing stage. They get through the tunnel, they go to the white light. How, in your experience, do you encounter these souls as far as how long they're staying, I'm not sure I know how to word this, how long they're staying at a level where they are able to still communicate to the one who's behind, i.e. my mother? How long is she able to stay in communication with me?
Sometimes forever. It all depends upon their growth and their soul, what it is that they have to learn. My experience, Patricia, with those who have passed over has been absolutely fascinating to me because I see a lot of them are like going to school. They're in classes. And they're learning things, they're learning particular things that they did not understand or learn in this lifetime. And so they are on the other side and they're learning about that and becoming more educated. Obviously, they need to become more educated if they're going to reincarnate again.
Mm-hmm. So, is there any criterion and experience that you've had with spirits on this side of what determines how much time they're spending in the halls of learning?
No.
Is it determined by their own karmic...
Exactly. Their own karmic pattern of what's going on with them. Absolutely. And, of course, there's no time on that side.
Yeah, we're running out of time on this side, too, to be honest. Well, I think more and more people are really starting to understand the sense of being in no time as
exactly.
We start spinning like crazy into this new era.
Exactly. And I've been talking about that for years, 40 years at least, and my guide has always told me there is no time. And if we function on that, there are many, many things that we can discover. Not only about ourselves, about our world that we live in.
Well, it's certainly a difficult one for us, locked in this 3D mentality, but to envisage a reality without time, and yet that is unquestionably where we're headed.
Yes.
So I'd like to get to the incredible work that you do of working with as a detective. But before we go there, I would like to ask you, can you tell us or give us a few stories that you talk about in your beautiful book of people that you have communicated with, beings on souls on the other side, and how you're helping people cope that have been left behind?
Well, gosh, there are so many stories of people that, you know, I have communicated with. And to tell you the truth, a lot of the times I don't remember the readings. So I don't know, are you asking me to give you a special story? Is there one particular one that you're thinking about in the book?
Not really. I'm just wondering, you know, to be talking about what you do to people that are listening, it would be nice if they could have an example of the kind of accuracy you have when you work with people that are asking for help in your intervention of talking to spirits on the other side.
Well, I would say that all told, my accuracy, because I not only do that in the reading, there are other things that they want to know about as well, besides their loved ones who have passed over. So I would say that my accuracy is probably between 80% and 90%.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, and it's rather shocking.
How did you get started working as a detective? How did you get involved in giving this gift to the police to assist them in finding?
Well, it certainly wasn't planned. I did not
how
plan
did it
that.
Happen?
How did it happen? I had gotten back from living abroad for 5 years with my two children and my husband, and I was already a professional psychic, and so my secretary and I decided to take a yoga class. And in the yoga class one day, we were meditating on the floor, and all of a sudden I saw this body hanging over me, and I looked at that body and I knew that it was dead. And then I saw a street sign. Well, it's scared the devil out of me, Patricia, and I sat straight up off the floor, and my secretary sat up and said, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm all right. And I laid back down. Well, after the class, she and my yoga teacher came over and said, what happened? What's wrong? You know, and I told them what I saw, and they both said to me simultaneously, oh, you have to go down to the Marin Sheriff's office and talk to them about that. And I went, what? Are you kidding? They're going to think I'm nuts if I go down there and tell them that I'm a professional psychic and that I've seen a dead body. No, no, no. There's no way I can do that. Oh, yes, yes, you have to go. Well, I said, well, let me call my husband and let me ask him what he thinks. Now, my husband, my first husband, is an electrical engineer and a CEO of a company and, you know, very, very bright. And so I called him up and he says, well, honey, I think you should go down there. I mean, why not? And I went, oh, okay. So we did.
You say so.
And so I walked into the Marin Sheriff's office and walked up to the desk and talked to the sergeant there, and I said, well, my name is Annette Martin, and I'm a professional psychic, and I've seen a dead body. And his eyes were just huge. I mean, I thought he was going to collapse on the floor. And he says, I'll be right back. And he runs out, and he goes into this other area. And within a few minutes, this very tall detective comes out, and he says, can you please follow me? And I went, oh, God. I was so scared. My knees were shaking, Patricia. I mean, I was terrified because I'd never been in a police department before in my life.
Did it occur to you that they could have been thinking that you were some whacked out person who had murdered someone?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm sure. So we were before the current spate of TV programs like Medium and others that has brought this into the foreground of people's consciousness.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, this is a
1975.
So what happened? So we walk in and they take us into this room. This is an interrogation room with no windows. Three chairs and a desk. And so my secretary and I sit down, and pretty soon these other two detectives walk in, and one particular a very handsome gentleman. He comes and he sits down in the at the desk and introduces himself to me, and I said, he says, what can you do, what can I do for you? And I said, well, my name is Annette Martin. I'm a professional psychic, and I think you're going to think I'm crazy, but I have seen this dead body. And I'm telling him, and he looks me straight in the eye, and he never blinked an eyelash. And he says, I don't think you're crazy. Do you mind if I turn on the tape recorder and record this? And I went, go right ahead. Well, 5 hours later,
yeah,
I had given him all kinds of information. And he and the captain asked me to come back in the evening because there were some other detectives who would like to ask me questions. And I said, okay, fine. So I brought my husband along with me because I thought, oh, you know, this is just getting to be too much. And so the three of us arrived and walked into a room of 25 men.
Wow.
In there were two FBI agents, a judge, the sheriff, the district attorney, and a whole bunch of detectives. And I went, oh, my God, what am I doing here? I mean, I was scared to death. And then I closed my eyes and I said, Annette, get hold of yourself and just think about what it was like when you sang at Bellas Artes, when you sang Manon Lescaut with 3,000 people in the audience. And I said, okay, I can do this. So I took a deep breath and I sat down. And another 5 hours later, we finished. I had given them so much information, they were absolutely blown away. And I told them...
5 hours is a long time. What did you tell them?
Oh, I told them all kinds of information about the perpetrator, the assailant, who had killed this girl. All the conversations that went on between the girl and the assailant. And that's one of the things that I do that's a little different than most psychic detectives. I can walk into a video of the scene of what happened between the victim and the assailant, and I get the conversations of what went on. I get all of the emotions. I see what they're doing, what's happening, what's going on. I also become the observant, and so I play these three roles. I play the role of the victim, of the assailant, and of the observer. So it's extremely fascinating, and so I, at that particular time, I would go into a very, very deep trance because I was right there and seeing what was going on. I was also giving the medical information about the assailant, the scars that he had, the medications that he was taking, his
whole MO.
That's
pretty precise. You're calling this 80% precision?
Well, this particular one was 100%, actually, because
I would say so.
It was
and did they catch
100.
Him?
Yes, they did. And what I told them was that they would catch him within a year wearing white, working in an institutional setting, and that it would not be in California. Well, guess what? To the day, a year later, I had also told them that he would kill again. So to the day, a year later, they arrested the suspect for another murder. He was working in a hospital in Washington State, and he was wearing white pants and a shirt.
Boy, that is pretty remarkable. Let me interject just for a moment. People sometimes don't get here at the beginning of the show, so I'd like to announce once again, we're talking to the incredible Annette Martin, very gifted psychic. Her website is, go ahead and give it to them, please.
www.annette-martin.com.
Or www.closure4u.com. And we're talking about her book, Gift of the White Light, actually written by James N. Fry, but it is a biography about Annette's incredible life as, 100% accuracy, working with the police, remarkable stuff. And we're going to open this up to to calls in a few minutes. So let me give you the numbers you can call. This is a rare opportunity. You get to ask one of our leading psychics a question. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. And another number for U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. Okay, Annette, so, that just really blows me away. I can understand. I've had similar experiences of coming out with some pretty outrageous things. And conservative mindset. So I commend you for being able to walk in the first place to the PlayStation station. That is.
It had
to take a lot of courage.
It did. Like I said, I was really scared. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. And from there, what happened was, like I said, there were two FBI agents there. And at that particular time, there was a lot of things going on with Patty Hearst. I'm sure you know who Patty Hearst was.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, and the SLA. And so they asked me to come and help them with that as well, which I did. And so that was, you know, shocking to me. And I was just very, very surprised. And then different agencies from all over the country started calling the Marin Sheriff's Office and saying, hey, I hear you've got this woo-woo lady over there that she might be able to help us. And of course,
has been all over the world?
Yeah.
That is really remarkable. Give us an idea of another event, if you will, where you've had such incredible precision in being able to help them identify a killer.
Well, there's another one that happened out here in California. Was a gentleman who, this was on Court TV, with psychic detectives on Court TV, and the gentleman had been missing for about 3 months, and the family called up the detective and said, oh, please, please call Annette Martin. We know that she can help. We know that she can find him. And so he finally consented. And he really did not believe in psychics. He was very skeptical. And came down to my office, and I told him just to bring a photograph of the gentleman who was missing and a map. And he did. And I sat down, and I held the photograph and the maps on my lap, and I told him that this gentleman, everything looked kind of green around him. And the detective looked at me, and he goes, yes, that's true. Yeah, he liked to wear green all the time. And I said, yeah, there's just all this green. And I see him coming out of his condo. He has something in his hand, and he's walking down to the office, and he's giving someone something. And then I see him walking out, and he's going out on this road, and I'm holding the map because I'm also a dowser, and I like to use the maps with my hands. And so I drew with the pencil where he went, and I saw him going down and into this area that looked very woodsy. And the detective says, yes, he says, that's 2,000 acres of a park, and we've been looking for him for 2.5 months. And I said, well, I see him walking here and down this road, and then I see him making a left turn, and he's starting to go up to this little hill, but uh-oh, I see him having a heart attack, and he fell over to the right side of the road, and he's there amongst the bushes. Well, the detective goes, yeah, okay. And he said, can you draw exactly where this is? And I said, yes. So I drew this little tiny circle on the map. Well, to make a long story very short, he went back to the office and told the captain, and the captain says, well, go out tomorrow and look for him.
Okay.
Well,
I have to interrupt you for a minute. We've got a question. We've got a caller. Can I interrupt your story?
Okay.
Okay, hold the story in mind, and we'll get this caller, and then we'll get back to it. Okay, caller, please identify yourself.
Hi, it's Jane Rose.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, I'd just like to know, if there's anything Annette could tell me. I lost my dad some years ago, and it was the 5th anniversary of his death just yesterday. And I'd had quite a psychic experience. When he died, I actually woke up 10 minutes before I got the call from my mom. And it was a really funny time. In the morning, I just wondered if maybe she can give me anything from him.
What was your dad's name?
His name's Jim Rose.
Jim Rose. And how long ago was this, Jane?
It was 5 years on the 3rd of September at about 4 o'clock in the morning, UK time.
Okay. One of the things that I'm picking up about him is that he seemed to be very traumatized with his death, and it looked like there was a long period of time where he was resting.
Uh-huh.
And what he's telling me is that he is now he's kind of not doing very much. He's not in any type of classes or learning. I see him more doing some reading, and
uh-huh.
I see this garden area that he's at. What he's saying is that he feels sad that he didn't do all the things that he wanted to do in this lifetime.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you relate with that, Jane?
Yeah, I can, possibly, because I'm calling you from Italy. I'm Pat's a friend of mine, and I'm from England, and I moved to here, and, you know, he never stood in my way. He was really happy for me to leave, and at one stage he wanted to go to what is now South Africa, and he never went. So I know that he would like to have done that, and other
exactly.
things, no doubt.
Exactly, and that's what he's telling me, is that he feels sad that he didn't get to do the things that he wanted to do. But I'll tell you what, Jane, my sense of it, and I'm covered with goosebumps all over, is that he is going to reincarnate.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. And I have to tell you that I do not get that information frequently at all. I mean, it's very rare.
Really? Wow. But mm-hmm. do you think it will be in my lifetime? I'm 43.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And does that mean that would that necessarily mean that I would need him? He would be in my life again?
I don't think so, honey. No, I don't think so. But I think he's going to be an explorer of some kind. Yeah, that's what I'm getting, an explorer. Oh, and this explorer is going to be out in space.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, that's
yeah.
a bit of a difference from not going to South Africa. Now and then.
Well, I hope
you
that gives you comfort,
sense of humor, so yeah, I suppose if you can't go to South Africa, hey, go to space, huh?
Why not?
Oh,
thank
God.
You for calling in, Jane.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Take care. God bless.
Thank you. Big hug. Okay. Let's see if we've got another caller here. No, we're okay. All right. You were talking about this incredible story where you gave them the site on the map where the man had the heart attack.
Yes, exactly. And so what happened was the same afternoon, a lady who was a volunteer who would go out and find people had a dog. And she came into the office of the detectives and said, well, what did the psychic say? And he told her, and she goes, oh, my gosh, I know exactly where that place is. I know exactly where that is. And he told her, you know, to wait until tomorrow. But she didn't. She didn't wait. And she went out there with another rescue person, and they had one dog with them. And they followed my route exactly, and there he was. Exactly where I had pinpointed, right in the center of the circle.
And the obvious question here is, you know, how do the police react to this?
Well, he was pretty shocked. he was very shocked, and he said, he admitted on television and he's admitted on radio. He said that, you know, we never would have found him if it hadn't been for Annette Martin.
That's amazing, Annette. The book, always, I just want to keep telling people, Gift of the White Light. You've got to read this book. It's really an amazing tribute to a woman who's doing amazing work.
So, thank you.
Obviously, the question that comes to my mind is, okay, what is it like when you penetrate the mind of a killer or the victim? I imagine you also work going through the victim. And, I mean, do you get frightened?
You know, that's a question that many people have asked me, Patricia, and I don't. Because what happens is Annette Martin steps aside.
Okay, hold on. We've got another caller, Annette. You're popular. Okay, caller, please tell us your name.
Tony.
Hi, Tony. What is your question for Annette?
My question for Annette is, how do I contact my spiritual guide?
How do you contact your spiritual guide, Tony? Okay.
Yeah, does everyone have a spiritual guide? Do I have one, I mean, or not? And if I do, how would I contact my spiritual guide?
Okay.
Thank you.
What I'm seeing is that you do have someone, and it looks like an angel.
Okay.
And it's female, and
mm-hmm.
She's been with you ever since you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way for you to contact her is through the sleep state.
Okay.
Because what happens when we are in a sleep state, our conscious mind becomes very quiet and our unconscious subconscious becomes more active. And so you need to say to yourself or out loud, you know, I would like to get a message from you. And please give it to me when I'm in a sleep state. And
okay.
She will try and communicate with you that way.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
That's
Bye.
Beautiful, Tony.
Okay.
I send you much love. Okay. Annette, let's try to go back to what you were saying.
Okay, where was I?
Okay, let's see. We were talking about being in the mind of...
Oh, yes, in the mind of a killer. I was saying that I can separate myself, which I do, because at the tender age of 9 years old, I was studying acting, and I had this incredible acting teacher, this drama teacher, who was on Broadway. And she was, at that point in time, she was in her early 80s, and she taught me how to separate myself, to become the character and to let Annette go and become the character. So it was very easy for me to be able to do this. And so that's the real bottom line of it.
So you're able to completely let go of Annette and become, assume in a sense, the consciousness of the victim or the killer. And
exactly.
by doing that... be able to be shown the scene?
Yes, uh-huh. And then I become the victim. And then other times I become the assailant. And then other times I become the observer. When it gets really bad, where the death is about to occur or the shooting or the knifing or whatever, then I become the observer. And then I talk in the third person about this is what I'm seeing, this is what is happening. So the very scary part...
Is this taking a toll on you? How do you protect yourself energetically?
Oh, I protect myself with my white light.
Hence the title of the book, once again, Gift of the White Light. But surely you must, in order to be that empathic a psychic, it must be difficult. Are you able to be completely neutral?
I'm able to be completely neutral, and because I firmly believe that no one, absolutely no one, should take the life of anyone else. And so it makes me very angry to think that someone would do that to someone else. And so that energy, it seems to help me to not become involved in the sadness of the murder of that person.
Not an easy task, Annette.
No, it is.
Obviously,
isn't.
You have a very, very intense karma or mission for you to be doing this kind of work?
I believe I do, and I was told at a very young age that he showed me, my guide, Kama, showed me this line of people, and there were thousands of people in this line of people, and he told me that I would be helping all of those people, and I went, oh, my gosh, you know, how am I going to help all those people? Well,
do I get time off for good behavior?
Thousands of people later, here we are.
Let me ask you then, how about these unsolved cases like little Madeline? Are you able to, how is it that you get information about some particular case and not another? Do you have any idea how this happens?
Oh, I can get information, but I haven't been asked. And I do not call the police agencies or the families. They have to call me. Because there are many, many psychics, Patricia, who do that. They go and they see something and they call all the police agencies and you know, the police agencies just write it down and stuff it away somewhere and don't pay any attention. And because of the record that I have had throughout the years, they know that I'm going to be able to give them some kind of information. But they need to call me. And so as far as that was concerned, that Madeline's case, I've gotten many, many, many emails asking me, please, please call the family, call the police department. And I always write back to them and tell them, please, you write to the family or you write to the police department and tell them about me and the work that I have done. And that's the way I handle it.
And you haven't been contacted?
No.
That's bizarre. Especially because you were on the Nancy Grace show, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I was.
That must have been an interesting show. I'm sorry I missed that one.
Yes, she was incredible. And you know how she is, and she's very stern. And we talked about this particular case that I just told you about, this gentleman in the 2,000 acres. And at the end of the show, she says on camera, well, Annette, I only have two words to say to you. And now, she's in New York, and I'm in California, right? And I'm sitting there in the studio thinking, oh, no, what is she going to say? Oh, my gosh, what is she going to say? And she says, thank you.
Oh, well, that's great.
I almost fell out of the chair. I really did. I did not expect that from her. But
what, you think she was going to say, you're nuts?
Yeah, well, I... You know, she comes off as being a little terse.
She does, but, you know, you've got the credentials, lady.
Right, right.
You've
right.
got the heart, you've got the credentials, and I'm sure it was a good experience for her to have been able to interact with you and examine another approach from what
it
she
was.
Used to.
And she was very gracious. She really was.
Well, I mean, you know, with 100% kind of psychic information that you've brought through, come on. I mean, even the hardcore skeptics have to sit back and say, well, okay.
Right.
Well, so tell us, you know, on another completely different track, do you have any projections for what's ahead in these days of very shaky ground in the political arena? The global
Actually,
arena, for that matter.
Yeah, I don't touch the political arena. I'm staying away from that.
That's probably smart.
Yeah.
It has definitely enhanced your life expectancy as well. Is there anything special you'd like to share with us as a last story or something particular about the book that you want people to remember?
Well, yes, I would like people to know that in the book there's just so many different things that we touch upon. I'm also a professional opera singer.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that. You sang Let's Go. Where did you do that?
I did that in Mexico City, and I was the first North American to ever sing with the Mexico City Opera Company. And
congratulations.
That's what... They thank you. That's what they put in their headlines in the newspaper. Who is this Norte Americana Annette Martin?
Well, you're racking up a lot of the firsts, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes, I have. And I love that. I love being first because it's like breaking new ground and always being ahead and being definitely out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say so. Definitely out of the box.
Right. So the book is filled with stories about my singing career, my psychic career, all the people I've run into. I've known a lot of very well-known people, geniuses, astronauts, movie stars, musicians. And so the book is very complete, as you know, because you read it.
I haven't read it completely, I will be honest.
Oh, okay.
But I am reading it, and I'm loving it, and it's one of those books that you don't want to read too fast because you don't want it to end.
Uh-huh, exactly. In fact, that's what people have said. There are 17 five-star reviews on Amazon.com, and the thread of everything through those reviews is, I could not put the book down.
It's a wonderful book. Again, it's Gift of the White Light, The Strange and Wonderful Story of Annette Martin, Psychic, a biography by James N. Fry. I don't want to mispronounce that again. And her website is www.annette-martin.com or www.closure4u.com. Annette, I can't resist. It's selfish and egocentric, but I just have to ask you one more question about me.
Okay.
Do you get anything from my mother, Sarah?
From your mother, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yes, she's extremely happy, and she's with another woman. And this could be her mother.
Uh-huh.
And
it's hard to believe she was happy with her mother, but okay.
Well, you have to remember that sometimes that things change on the other side.
Yes, indeed. I'm being facetious.
And I feel that she's very happy. That's the all-encompassing feeling that I get, Patricia, is that she's very happy. I do not feel that she wants to reincarnate either.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So she'll be there when I come through to the other side.
Oh, absolutely, she will be there. Absolutely.
Oh, that is the very good news. What a way to end this interview. Thank you for giving me that. It really is very important to me.
Yes.
Well, I've got to wrap this up. Folks, you've had a really wonderful opportunity to hear from Annette Martin, a renowned psychic, a person that TV shows are modeled after. You can arrange to have a reading with her. Annette, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a reading with you. So I'll be one of the first customers from this interview. You can reach her on the sites that I indicated earlier. You can have a reading if you want to get in touch with someone from the other side. It's a real opportunity for a 100% accuracy potential psychic. Take advantage of it. And don't miss this beautiful book, Gift of the White Light. Will we have you back?
Oh, I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Okay, then it's a date in the future, which is, of course, in the no time, could be tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks a million, Annette. It's been wonderful
you.
Having you on.
Thank you.
And my love to everyone. Thank you for listening. Please spread the word. And don't forget, you can read more about my work on my website, SyrianRevelations.net. That's all.